All right. So today we get to we begin a brand new series called Encounters with Jesus, and I've kind of been looking forward to this one. We're going to go into the Gospels and look at different people that encountered Jesus and how what it did for them in their lives. Because I believe that an encounter with Jesus can change your life. That's a good place to amen right there, because hopefully if you've encountered Jesus and he's done something in your life that you're excited about it. And so God laid this on my heart about 6 months ago on this series, and just looking at how different people interacted with Jesus. And it's interesting, as you look at it, there's different people reacted different ways and different things happened in their lives. And it's amazing. The things that Jesus did while he was here on the earth, the miracles that he performed. And, I remember used to reading all the Gospels and reading through all the stuff that Jesus did, like, man, that is awesome. That is so cool. I'd love to have seen miracles like that. And then later on, Jesus said, hey, these things that I've been doing, that you're going to be able to do these also, because I'm sending the Holy Spirit into your life. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. And so we have that same power within us to perform some of the things that Jesus performed. Now, I'm not saying that it's on-demand miracles, but what I'm saying is God can use us in those same ways to bring life and to bring health to people. And so that's one of the reasons why I want to look at this, because an encounter with Jesus can change your life. But the thing is, you've got to allow it to change your life. And so that's one thing that we're going to see in today. I'm going to read two different stories out of the Gospels today about two different men who encountered Jesus, but it was completely different results of what happened. See, the thing is, it's not if you encounter Jesus, because I believe that God makes sure that every person that's walked the face of the earth has an encounter with God. Whether they're in another country somewhere else. I read stories, and I love missions and love reading articles on stuff like that. And I'm amazed at hearing people from like the Middle East, that they begin to, they're praying to Allah or whoever they're praying to. And then all of a sudden they have this vision of Jesus showing up. And Jesus is talking to them in this vision, and they give their lives over to God after they do some investigating and seeing what Jesus is about. And see, I don't think that God is necessarily bound by us, but that he can get his word across no matter what. That's the one cool thing about God, that God is going to complete the mission no matter what. He's letting us be a part of that. But you know what? If nobody's willing to do it, he's going to make it happen anyway. And that's one cool thing about God. And so I believe that everybody has an encounter with Jesus at some point in their life, whether it's coming into a church or whether it's a dream or a vision or Good Samaritan or whatever. I believe that everybody has. It's not a question if you encounter God, Jesus, but the question is, how will you respond to that encounter? And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to share two different stories about two different men that encountered Jesus. One went all in, and one walked away. And it's our response to what happened. So let's read about this. We know these two men as Zacchaeus and the rich young man. I've always heard it called the rich young ruler, but as I was reading the scripture, I didn't see ruler in there anywhere. I don't know where that came from, but anyway, I'm sure there's a translation that says it somewhere. Anyway, Luke chapter 19, we're going to read about Zacchaeus first. Luke chapter 19, verse 1, it says, when Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was very wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he was not able to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must come and stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner? But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay it back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And see, I believe that Jesus is still doing that today. He's coming to seek and save the lost. He wants to use us, but if he has to bypass us, he will. But anyway, so this is a cool story about Zacchaeus. He is the chief tax collector. And if you know anything about the history and into that day and age, that the tax collectors were corrupt. He was a Hebrew. He was the son of Abraham. And so he was one of them, but he was a tax collector for Rome. And most of the tax collectors back then, they collected the taxes of the people, and then they took a little bit for themselves. And they added their extra fees and processing fees, shipping and handling, and all those kind of fees to it, and got a little bit more for themselves. And so they robbed people every time that they went to collect taxes from people. And so it's interesting that he knew he was a sinner. The people knew he was a sinner. But what was it that caused this interaction? He heard Jesus was coming to town. He knew where he was going. And listen, he said he wanted to see who Jesus was. He was just curious. He had no intention that day of giving his life over to God, to turning away from his occupation and his lifestyle. He had no plans of that. He heard Jesus was coming, and he just wanted to see who he was. He just wanted to check it out. And it's interesting that as he was doing that, Jesus made something happen in that relationship. Jesus initiated. He said he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short. Now, I understand. You got to climb a tree sometimes to get, you know, to see things. But anyway, he saw Jesus was coming, and Jesus, when he got to that spot, he looked up to him and he said, he called him by name, Zacchaeus. Now, did he meet Zacchaeus before? No, he'd never met Zacchaeus before. How did he know his name? Well, he's God. I mean, come on. This was what is called a divine appointment, okay? This was Zacchaeus's day. You know, lots of times when we give an altar call here today, we say, today is the day of salvation. Today is your time. And I believe that there are appointed times when God invites us into him, and it's an appointed time. This was Zacchaeus's appointed time. Now, he had choices within this appointed time, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. And so he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. I mean, this was huge for Zacchaeus. This was the rabbi. This was Jesus. This is the guy who's doing all the miracles. And he looks at him up in the tree, calls him by name, and says, I must come stay at your house today. He's like, oh, whoa. He was just an innocent, he was a part of the parade, man. I mean, he was sitting on the sidelines looking and watching and just wanted to see what the spectacle was about. And he got called out. He said, I must come and stay at your house today. So he came down at once. Of course, all the people are talking like, what is Jesus doing? He's going to hang out with this sinner? What in the world is Jesus doing here? And we don't get to see the interaction between Jesus and Zacchaeus at his house. But we see the results of what that interaction came about. Because this thief, this tax collector, this sinner, all of a sudden has a change of heart. He has a change of heart. He says, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. The Bible says he was very wealthy. He had lots of money. He was not lacking for anything. And he, all of a sudden, this guy who was stealing from people, like, if you've ever met a thief, they're not in the business of giving half their stuff away, right? That's not what happens. And so something happened here that changed his heart. There was an interaction that Jesus had with Zacchaeus that completely revolutionized Zacchaeus, the way he thought, his heart, and what he did. And he says, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, he knew he had. That wasn't like a, he said, if. Anyway, he says, I'll pay back four times the amount. How many people do you think he owed? And he said, I'll pay back four times what I stole from him. This was a change of heart for Zacchaeus. An encounter with Jesus changed his life big time. And we don't see any more stories about Zacchaeus, but I think he continued on this road. It's like if you have an encounter with Jesus and you give away half your stuff, I mean, if you're rich, I mean, that's a lot of stuff to give away. And paying back people that you've cheated, that was a change of heart. Jesus responded, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. Now, do you think that Jesus said, today is the day of salvation for this man because he gave away a bunch of stuff? No, that's not why Jesus said that. See, sometimes we have this idea like, you know, if I give away some stuff, if I do this, if I do that for Jesus, you know, he'll recognize me. Maybe he'll notice me. Maybe I'll earn some brownie points with God if I do these serve projects and I give this stuff away and I do all of this stuff. Then maybe, no. That's not what God wants from us. Now, yeah, that should be something that comes out of our relationship with God, that we want to do those kind of things. But Jesus didn't ask him to do that, did he? No, he did not. It was a natural reaction from what God did in his life. It changed his heart that he was willing to give all of this stuff away. All of a sudden, money was no big deal to him because he found something more important, something better. He found salvation. And that would change your life. And I love how Jesus said that. It says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. See, when he was walking through town, he could have talked to anybody. I think you could have asked anybody on that street, hey, I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to eat today. And anybody would gladly accepted that invitation. He didn't choose the chief priests. He didn't choose the religious leaders. He didn't even choose those that were devoted to him already. He chose a sinner. Somebody that needed what he had. How many times are we inviting sinners into our lives? How often are we inviting sinners to join us into something and to share what we have with them? See, I believe we need to have that same heart of Jesus that we are seeking to save that which is lost. Now, I don't have the power to save anybody, but I know who does. And I'll gladly offer it to anybody who's willing to listen. And that needs to be our heart. That needs to be our drive, is that we're looking. That we're looking at work like, who needs Jesus in here? Like, lots of times you know who needs Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need Jesus. I mean, come on. You know, lots of times we know those people. But, you know, who is God working on? See, I believe that if we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit and we're praying and we're asking God, God, show me somebody today that needs you. And you know, God's at work all the time working on people's hearts. And he will show you somebody that he's been working on already and that's already going down that road. And you might be able to step in there and have this moment like Jesus did with Zacchaeus, to where salvation comes. How many of y'all have ever prayed for salvation with somebody before? It's one of the most amazing things that you'll ever do in your life. Just the, I guess it was last week after service, I mean, I received the offering last week. I mean, that was my job last week, but I got to pray with someone to receive Jesus last week because they sat through the service and they heard about baptism. They're like, yeah, I want to be baptized. And so I started asking them questions like, hey, you know, tell me about your salvation experience. What, you know, tell me how you your experience with God. And she couldn't tell me. And so I kind of pressed the issue. And she was like, and she started crying. It's like, today's the day of salvation for you. You're ready. You're ready, and I got to pray with her right there, and she's going to be baptized next week. And so, which, by the way, we're baptizing next week, so if anybody needs to be baptized, come talk to me after service, and we'll line that up. And so, but it's awesome. I love that experience of being able to pray with somebody, and I think every Christian should have that experience at some point in your life, because you know what? There's people all around you that need Jesus. Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone and make that invitation, start that conversation? Do that good deed for somebody that might get their attention. Because let me tell you something. If you ask God, try this tomorrow when you wake up in the morning. God, show me someone today that you're working on and that needs Jesus. And I guarantee you that he's going to show you somebody at some point during your day that he's been working on and that's ready. And that you could have that chance to pray with him tomorrow. And so Zacchaeus, he encountered Jesus and it changed his life. Let's look at somebody else that Jesus encountered. And we're going to compare and contrast these two, the way these things went down. And it's interesting because in Matthew chapter 19, we see the story of the rich young man. Zacchaeus was rich. This man was rich. Matthew 19:16 says, "Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?'" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You should not murder. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You should not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All of these I have kept," said the young man. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." Then the young man heard this, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it's hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." And when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now let's look at this story. This is a little bit different story in that this man also was a Jew. Apparently he knew the commandments. He had grown up. He had been taught the commandments. And so he knew all of those things. And he said, "I have kept all of these ever since I was young." Now, first thing, I don't think anybody has ever kept all the commandments. You know, I mean, we'll just start with that right there. But he said, but listen to his question. He said, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? What must I do to get, what good thing?" See, back in those days, the Jews had the law. And that's all that they knew, is that they had to keep the law in order to get eternal life. Don't murder, don't steal, don't do all this, all the don'ts, right? And he said, "I've done all of that." He said, what am I lacking? What else do I need to do? What good thing do I need to do? And so he is talking law to Jesus. And so Jesus is talking law back to him. He said, "If you want to live by the law, then you must do all of this perfectly. The one thing that you lack is that your money has a hold of your heart, and money is your God, and so you need to get rid of your money and come follow me." See, he had an encounter with Jesus, but what happened to him? He walked away sad. He rejected what Jesus was offering to him because money was more important to him than eternal life. But he walked away sad. He said, "I've kept all these things. What do I lack?" If you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions. And it's interesting, Jesus' response. He turned to his disciples and said, "I tell you, it's hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven." Is God against rich people? No, he's not. He's not trying to say, I'm making it harder for them because they're rich. You know, no, that's not what he's saying. He's saying that if you have money, be careful, because it can easily take over the throne of your heart. And it's easier for someone who doesn't have a lot of money, that it's not controlled of them, to enter the kingdom of heaven. But what he's talking about here is he's talking from the standpoints of works. He approached him, "What good thing must I do? What is it that I need to do? What am I lacking?" Never once did he ever express anything as faith. It was all based on what he was doing. And what else? What do you mean? And I prophesy in all of this name, and Lord said, "For you." Just because you're doing good, it means what is the relationship with God and Jesus? What's that action? Are you still being self-reliant, or are you being God-reliant? And this was the difference between Zacchaeus and the rich young man, is because Zacchaeus, he knew he is a sinner. He knew his fate. But God gave him that opportunity. Jesus gave him that opportunity. And he truly had that encounter with him, and it changed his heart, and it changed his life. The rich young man had the same encounter. Notice something here, though. Jesus called out to Zacchaeus. The rich young man called out to Jesus. We're supposed to call out to Jesus, right? Let me tell you something. You would have never come to God if He didn't draw you first. There is nothing on the inside of man that desires God. In the sinfulness of man, in the hopelessness when we were in sin, there was nothing within us that desired God, because that went against everything that was within you. Now, I believe that deep down in our spirit man, you know, before you get saved, your spirit man is dormant on the inside of you. And that is what desires God. But there's nothing on the inside of you in your flesh that will go after God. See, we don't find God. God finds us. You want me to read some scripture for you? John 6:44, Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me has drawn them, and I will raise them up in the last day." See, it's God that draws us. See, the rich young man approached Jesus. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that he was wrong in doing that. But I hear so many people, "I found Jesus." No, you didn't. He found you. He found you in your junk and your mire, and he reached down and he pulled you out. All right? Anyway, that's one of those little things, right? And so anyway, he approached Jesus, and he started talking about all this stuff that he did. "I did this, and I did this, and what else do I need to do?" And he thought he was being, like, honorable in this. No, he thought he was like, "Yeah, I've done all of this. Is there anything I still lack?" And Jesus called him out. But listen to what he said. The disciples asked, "Who then can be saved?" His response is, "With man, this is impossible. There is no way that we can approach God on our own and receive salvation. But with God, all things are possible." It's with God. It's because of God that we have salvation. It's because Jesus approached us, because Jesus loved us to give his life for us on the cross, that he did all of this stuff. It has nothing to do with me. There's nothing that I did that brought me salvation, except for my response to what Jesus did for me. And that's what we want to get down to today, is that what is your response to your encounter with Jesus? Because you can accept Christ into your life and everything can change, or you can say a prayer and change nothing and it never changed your life. So the question today is, how do we know if we're really saved? This is a question I get asked quite often. It's like, how do you know? Like, how do you know? Like, you know that 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 you're saved, right? Is there a way? Is there a way that I know that I'm going to heaven? I say, absolutely, yes. I believe that, I believe with everything within me that I know that I'm going to heaven. How can you be so confident in that? Because of God's word. Because of what he said in his word, and that trust in that. But I want to talk about three different things today, just real quick, about how do we know if we're saved. See, first, we come by his invitation only. John 6:44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them." The Bible tells us that he doesn't draw us because we know that we're a sinner. He doesn't draw us because we've done all this stuff and we feel bad. No, he draws us because of his kindness. It's his kindness that draws us to repentance. And it's not till we realize that we are a sinner and that we are not good, until we begin to allow God to draw us in that. And then as he draws us in, we have our encounter with Jesus. And then through that encounter with Jesus, that's how we find our salvation. See, one thing I love about the story of Zacchaeus is that he didn't approach Jesus. Jesus came to him. And there was something that was very different in Zacchaeus afterwards. Which brings me to number two. How do we know if we're saved? Is that he changes our hearts. He changes our hearts when we truly give our lives to him. There is a marked difference on the inside of us. See, there's some people that pray a prayer and they walk away and they never change. And they think, "Well, I prayed a prayer, so I'm going to heaven." Prayer doesn't save you. It's giving your life to Christ that saves you. It's that decision. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Do you know what that means, Jesus is Lord? Someone, when you say that someone is your Lord, they're saying, you are in charge of me now. I no longer have control of myself, but I submit to you. I submit to your plan for my life. I submit to whatever you tell me to do. I submit everything to you, every part of my life I give to you, and now you are in control of that. That's what it means when you say Jesus is Lord. But see, when we pray a prayer and nothing changes, we don't do anything different, then I don't think that's salvation. There's a lot of people that go to church every Sunday that are going to go to hell because they never really gave their life to Christ. They're like the rich young man. I've done all of this stuff. I've never sinned. I've never done this. I give. I go to church. I serve. Yeah, but what did you do with Jesus? Did you ever really allow him to come and change your life? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, and the new is here. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is the mark of the Christian, is that something is different. The old is gone. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to struggle with things from your past, but what I'm saying is that your heart is tending towards other things. See, the rich young man walked away because he wasn't going to change anything. But Zacchaeus, what did he do? Immediately, he said, I'm going to give away half my possessions, and I'm going to repay everybody that I've cheated. That's a marked change. From a thief to a giver. That's a marked change. All right? And so, there's always a mark. There's always something that you can tell that there's a change. There's something different. There's that twinkle in your eye all of a sudden, and there's that pep in your step. And you can pray with some people, and you can tell, like, immediately that something has changed on the inside of them. And, I mean, they're excited about God, and they're reading, and they're just consuming God's Word, and they're asking questions, and I love that because that's a marked change in their life. We come by His invitation only. He changes our hearts. And three, our response shows the fruit of salvation. The fruit of salvation. We all know about the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. If you've been in this church anytime and went to church camp, you know those things. I mean, we built the big fruit, you know, and put them on the stage, and we did all of this stuff, and you know about the fruit of the Spirit. See, the thing is, the fruit of the Spirit is not something that you do. See, a lot of people think, like, okay, I need to be loving. I need to be patient. No, the fruit, what is fruit? It's something that's produced off of a tree, right? A tree doesn't have to, like, will itself to produce an apple, right? It just does it. Because that's what it does. And see, a Christian should, out of the overflow of your relationship with God, should produce love and patience and goodness and kindness. It's not, okay, I'm going to work on my love today. I need to get better on my love, and so I'm going to work on love today. And you're getting into works. You're getting into the rich young man again. See, it's out of the response of our relationship with God that our life has changed, and our life is going to produce something different. It's going to produce godliness. It's going to produce love. It's going to produce faith in you. And it's going to produce these things, and it's not like I'm making it happen, but it's just a natural response to my relationship with God. See, this is how you know that there's salvation that happens. Now, some of you are thinking, oh, shoot. Let me tell you something. There's a difference in someone that encounters God and walks away. Even though they pray to prayer, even though they come to church, even though they do all this stuff, you can tell. As a Christian, as a Spirit-filled believer, I can tell pretty quickly when someone is saved or not. By the words, by their actions. I mean, you can feel it. You know, your spirit is connected with the Spirit of God, and you just kind of know. And you know what I'm saying? There's times that you meet somebody and you're just like, ooh, this person's a Christian. I can tell already. You know what I'm saying? And then you get around someone that's like saying, oh, praise Jesus, praise Jesus. And you're like, ooh, I don't know about that person. So which are you today? Are you Zacchaeus? Are you the rich young man? See, I believe that we've all had an encounter with Jesus. If not, I hope you encounter Jesus today in this service. Because the presence of God is here. The Bible tells us when we gather together, He is there in the midst of us. And He's at work. Are you going to respond to that? Are you going to allow God to come in and change your life? See, here's the thing. You know, there's people that deal with addictions and all of these things, and you can't beat that stuff on your own. You've tried. I've tried. You can't do that on your own. It takes the power of God to change you. You might change for a little while, but you'll fall back. It takes the power of God to truly bring change in your life. Do you want change in your life today? Is there something in your life that you're facing that you like, this has to change in my life? Reach out to God today. Give that thing to Him. Quit trying to do it on your own. Say, God, I need your power in this area of my life. I give you control of this. I make you Lord of this part of my life because I haven't done that yet. I'm giving you control of this part of my life, God, and I need you to bring change in this. Let me tell you something. The power of God is amazing. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. Prayer team, can you come forward? We're going to end in a worship song tonight or today. And today you might be sitting there thinking, I really don't know. I don't know where I'm at with God. Let me tell you something. Today is the day of salvation. Today is your day. It is a day for you as God has invited you in today to respond to Him. To respond to Him in faith. To respond in Him with giving your life to Him. See, there's so many people that hear the gospel, that hear the good news, and they think, well, that's too good to be true. Or, you know, I know them Christians. I know those people sitting in that room. And they talk themselves out of it. Hey, this is you and God. This has nothing to do with anybody else sitting in this room. This is you and God. This is serious stuff. This determines your eternity. How are you going to respond today? Can we stand today as we worship? If you need prayer today, come forward. If you know, you just know, I want you to reach up to God and just worship Him today. I mean, just lay it all out there for Him today because He's done something amazing for you. Father, thank you today, God, that you sent Jesus, God, that the invitation is there, God, that you're drawing us. God, help us to respond today, God, in giving our lives to you completely. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.